Last track was Little Miss Echo with Featherweight, which came out on Friday on their new EP called Hover. And now I'm here with Emma Cashman. Emma, how's it going?
Really good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, Emma, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm a local singer-songwriter. I'm based in JP right now. I released my debut album over the summer. It's called For Demeter. It's out on all streaming platforms. I'm releasing a live EP next month on March 6th. And I'm really happy to be here trying to, you know, play shows and play music where I can.
Absolutely. Where did you record your live EP?
Yeah, so I recorded that in a barn in Stoughton, Massachusetts. It was at a house venue called Former Jumanji.
Oh, I've heard of that one, I think.
Yeah, yeah. My friend SB, who's a local anti-folk, kind of folk punk mm-hmm. artist, she was recording a live album that night, and our friend Yvette Garland had offered to track a couple of songs for me while I was there. And so, yeah, I played a couple of new ones, a couple of old ones, so I'm excited to finally have that out. That was back in, I think, September, so it'll be good to finally release it.
Awesome. And for anyone listening, where can they find you on the internet, social media, et cetera?
Yeah, my Instagram handle is ecash54, and I post pretty regularly there about what I've got going on, keep it updated for shows and releases and stuff like that, and then just my name on any streaming platform.
Perfect. And with that, would you like to go into your first song?
Sure. This one's called Hedging Your Bets. Sitting here on the couch where we had our first kiss, pace around the house. My room's the coldest. You're leading me on. Think I'm okay with that. Take all the time you want. I'll hang back while you're hedging your bets. Nothing wrong with not knowing yet and hedging your bets. You can't decide. Split a cigarette on your front porch. You head inside. I hear your roommate asking where I've gone. Walking home in the cold. Some kid died this way last week. I'm getting too old to be pulling moves like this while you're hedging your bets. Nothing wrong with not knowing yet and hedging your bets. Sick of you.
Very nice. Thank you.
Thanks.
What's your songwriting process typically look like?
It typically comes from a few different places. I like to have a running notes app on my phone, and I also carry a notebook with me most of the day. And if anything kind of comes to me randomly, I jot it down quickly. And I stopped doing that for a little while, and I noticed I wasn't writing songs as much. And so I was like, okay, I got to get back into that. And then I like to just set aside time to play around and let myself kind of free form word vomit over like a couple of chords, and I'll, you know, change it up and write down things if they sound good, and then kind of throw away what, you know, doesn't stick. I've been thinking about running a voice recorder while that happens, because a lot of times I will come up with a really good idea and then forget it in the, you know, 5 seconds that I've realized it was a good idea. But for now it seems to be working okay.
Yeah, it's, I when you were saying that, it reminded me of the album that Mac DeMarco released a couple years ago, where it was just like his like daily warm-up practice thing, and he just released like 24 hours of tracks.
Oh, I did hear about that.
Yeah. It's like a lot of it is like totally but you can be like, oh, that sort of sounds like that other song.
I feel like, I didn't let myself just kind of free flow for a while. Like a lot of times I'd get stuck before I even started, and I'd kind of self edit. And I feel like that's the biggest barrier for me in like any sort of creative process, is just like preemptively being like, oh no, this is stupid. Like a terrible idea. A lot of it is just like giving myself permission to be like, yeah, this might suck, but you know, just going to go with it.
One question that I like to ask on here is like, what's the best piece of advice that you've received? And if you have an answer for that, great. But I was just going to give you one that I heard recently, okay. Which was, you know, like it's hard enough to be an artist or a musician. You don't have to be a critic too.
Oh, that's good.
And like, yeah, there are plenty of other people who can criticize your work.
Yeah.
Your job is just to make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like, awesome.
Yeah. And of course, there is some self-editing that's going to be done. But
I feel like, oftentimes, like we can be our own worst critics, too. And, you know, a lot of times I will berate myself over something and someone will be like, no, that's not bad. Like, you know.
Oh, entirely. And if you have any gems of advice that you've heard or have... If not, that's A-okay.
I'm trying to think. The only one that's coming to mind, like right now, that I've been ruminating on a little bit, is that you can fail at things you don't want to do. So why don't you take the risk on what you do want to do? Because I felt like, for a while I wasn't going to let myself actively pursue music, because I was like, well, I'm probably not going to go anywhere with it. Like, what really is the point? But you know, I wasn't doing much else, so
mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's that even mean, really? It's about the journey in a lot of ways. Where have you been, who are a lot of your top musical influences, if you had to name a few?
I right now have been, I think, taking a lot of inspiration from John Darnielle of the Mountain Goats. He's kind of number one for me. I really love the way he tells stories and can put you in such like a specific place that you've never been to before, and then also like you can identify really deeply with the emotions that he's portraying. In a similar way too, I like a lot of singer-songwriters, Elliott Smith is very important to me. Those are like the two big ones. The last couple of years, I've been getting more into the folk punk scene a little bit, and so I really like April Hartman of Apes of the State and this band The Taxpayers too. So the heaviness I think in those two bands hasn't showed up in my music yet, but maybe it's coming.
Well, there's yeah, wherever you fall on the folk punk spectrum is totally acceptable. Yeah. Or anything in between, or even outside of that spectrum. But it really, you know, you've got folk and you've got punk and you got everything in between. All kinds of things to choose from. Do you have a favorite gig that you have played?
Oh, that's a good question. I played my friend Brian Huntress's surprise birthday party recently, and it was for his family and then also, you know, his friends who are also in the folk punk scene, and that was an interesting mix of worlds, and it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I know the name Brian Huntress. I'll have to go and listen to his music again afterwards. Is he the one with the song about like a 6-page zine?
Yeah.
Is
that yeah.
8-page
zine.
Excuse me. Yeah. I should have, you know, it's a multiple of two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Going Crazy featuring Chris OG and the Dopaminis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who Chris OG does happen to be in the studio, but
hello.
He'll be making a surprise appearance shortly. Yes.
Well, it's not a surprise anymore.
That's true. Yeah,
but it will be a surprise feature. You know, even if it's not a surprise appearance anymore. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if it's not a surprise, it's still a surprise. Surprisingly, do you have a favorite song to perform?
I like the one that I just played, Hedging Your Bets. I feel like that one's kind of grown on me a while. That was one I wasn't sure about when I wrote it, but people seem to like it. And I've had a couple of people tell me that it's made them realize they deserved better from the situationship they were in. So, you know, if you can help someone get out of that, then that's all you can ask for, really, I think. Yeah. I like that one, and I like another one called Nuclear Semiotics, too. Yeah.
Nice. Is that one going to be on your list today?
Yeah. Yeah, cool. We're going to play that.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, with that, would you like to play another one?
Sure. Yeah. I think I'll probably go into Nuclear Semiotics with
Perfect.
Chris then.
A flower on the day. still dream of you all the time. Your smile enticing, yellow as iodine. And I wake up a scream stuck in my throat. Why can't I just let go? Nothing honorable happened here. There's no reason.
You want to talk a little bit about some of your inspirations for that song?
Yeah. So that one came from a variety of different places. The title refers to the long-term warning messages for nuclear waste sites, like kind of how linguists are trying to figure out how to warn future societies of nuclear waste, if, you know, maybe they speak a different language or communicate in a different way, like 10,000 years down the line. And so I had read some of the things somewhere on the internet that had been kind of thrown at the wall that as possibilities for that. And I was kind of astounded by like how beautiful it was to me, even though it was like very harsh. And you know, that's where that the chorus comes from, like the nothing honorable is here, like there's nothing valuable here. I think a few other ones are like, what is here presents a danger to you. And so I had kind of had that in the back of my head, and then the first verse I had written a poem on, or very shortly after my grandmother died, and just kind of about the impermanence of, you know, anything good. And then in the context of that, with the chorus, the second verse kind of goes into how that also means, though, that there's the impermanence of anything bad. And I find that both terrifying and comforting at the same time. And so the song kind of tries to grapple with those thoughts. Yeah,
that's... yeah. And it's interesting how long the bad stuff can last, or at least how long it feels like the bad stuff can last.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But the good stuff can last for a while too.
Yeah. And I feel like, yeah, it's important to, this is some of the advice I'm trying to to recall is to, yeah, like lean into joy, you know, because I think whenever I have good things going on, I tend to just be terrified about when they're going to be taken away. But if you're always scared, then you can't really enjoy the good times.
For sure. And so is nuclear semiotics, is semiotics like the term for the linguistic? And,
yeah.
What is your, because I've also read a bunch of the theories. Do you have a preferred method of getting that message across?
Yeah,
I like the spiky thing.
Yes, the spike fields. No, yeah. Those are sick. I like the other two ones that I've heard of is creating a somehow genetically modifying cats so that they'll start glowing if they're exposed to nuclear waste. And the thought is that, well, humans will still obviously have pet cats, you know, in 10,000 years. Yeah. And that would be so cool, as long as it's safe for the little kitties. And then the other one I've heard is the atomic priesthood of creating like a religion around it, and that the idea is that the religion would outlast the language, maybe. Which is an interesting concept. But I think, you know, there's something to that. So
people are always going to love exclusive in groups and lore.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could. Even when they don't know what it means, 10,000 years from now, they'll be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't go into that area.
It's
bad juju.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's just so like telling though that scientists are like, well, obviously that people are going to want to dig, like, you know, like
if you say not to,
they're going to be like, oh, that means there's treasure here, you know, like,
and that's where that line, you know, nothing honorable comes in. It's like, yeah, you can dig and you'll find some slag and waste and it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
Although I've also read as a follow-up to that, that we're getting to a point where, or we will get to a point where trying to squeeze out that extra energy from our nuclear waste might become more efficient than mining more fresh material.
Well, that's hopeful, I guess.
Especially if it's, you know, still radioactive. That means that it's giving off energy.
Yeah.
So,
cool. I wish I knew more about like the science behind it. I wish, you know.
Yeah, nuclear engineering is a fascinating field that I also wish I knew more about. Yeah. But luckily, we don't need to deal with the other end of nuclear semiotics.
Yeah, no.
Just
be like, oh, the words sound cool together.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And it's a fascinating topic. I'm here with Emma Cashman. And Emma, gigs. Did you mention what gigs you have coming up?
Oh, yeah. I am playing a poetry open mic on February 24th at Winter Hill Brewery in Somerville, I believe. That, I think, is at 7 p.m. And then I recently booked a show at a house venue in Alston on March 21st with some touring folk punk bands. So if you follow me on Instagram at ecash54, I will post about those things as the details become more clear. I also regularly go to and help run an open mic at the Midway Cafe, which is the second Tuesday of every month. It's called the Inkwell Open Mic. It's singer-songwriters, originals only. So you can usually catch me there on the second Tuesday of every month as well.
And it's so refreshing to hear about an open mic that isn't on a Wednesday.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because, they're all this night and I can never make it.
Yeah.
Of course, the Midway is all the way in JP, so it's still tough. A trip. But good to know that there's one not on a Wednesday.
I think the Cantab has one on Mondays, or at least is that it? Used to okay. be when it was.
I thought that theirs was on Wednesdays, but it might be on Mondays.
They might have moved it.
I think the Lily Pad is on Wednesdays, or the Jungle, maybe. I don't know if the Jungle has an open
I'm not sure.
Oh, so there's so many little venues.
Yeah,
which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a silly one. What is your go-to karaoke song?
I've only done karaoke once, and I sang Stacy's Mom by Fountains of Wayne.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And that just brings the house down, you mm-hmm. know?
Yep.
I will say the one time I did karaoke, I was very displeased because there were a couple of guys at the bar laughing at everyone. I was like, well, why did you come to a karaoke bar if you were going to, you know, make fun of people being vulnerable and putting themselves out there and singing about Stacy's mom? You know, it's not easy to get up and sing about these things.
I mean, of course, it is different when you are a singer.
I don't know.
But even so, karaoke's karaoke.
Yeah, and I feel like it just gives you an excuse to be more free and in that way maybe not sing as well, and, you know, it's okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fun. I love Fountains of Wayne. They're, they're playing again.
Oh, really?
Of course, Adam Schlesinger passed away in 2020 from COVID. It was one of the early ones. But the rest of the band is touring again.
Oh, wow.
At least a couple of gigs. I don't know if they're doing like a full tour. But
Awesome.
Yeah. I got to see them once pre-2020. And they're so cool live.
Cool. Yeah. I can only imagine. I can't remember the name of the album that Stacy's mom is on, but
Welcome Interstate Managers.
Yeah, I love that one.
It's growing up, that was always in my parents' car.
Me too.
Yeah. Yep. That, and do you know the Jayhawks? Rainy Day Music by them was the other CD that was always in the car. Uh-huh. The other four in the CD trays got swapped out, but those two. Nice. Are there any other songs that were, or albums that were in your parents' car growing up?
Oh, that's a good question.
A question that I won't be able to ask 10 years from now.
That's true. My parents both were really into new wave. So this is a little, when I was like a younger kid, it was mostly like the Beatles, or like my mom would play Jack Johnson. I think they tried to keep it a little happier, you know, for me. My dad's a big Stevie Wonder fan, so Inner Visions was on a lot. And then once I got a little older, they were like, okay, now you're ready for the Smiths. The Smiths were very formative for me as well. The Police, Synchronicity, trying to think what else. The Who. That covers a lot of what was going on.
Nice. Yeah, those are, I mean, all excellent picks. Yes. Yeah. I think I had something else to go off of one of those albums on, but can't go wrong. They're all good. Nice. New wave. Just such a good genre.
I
wish that Boston had more new wave sounding bands. More synth rock.
I feel like I saw one recently at the Pond, and I can't remember what they were called. Not very recently. It was a couple of months ago. If it comes to me, I'll let you know.
Cool, yeah.
But, yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, is it there, and I just don't know about it? Or, you know, does the scene need to be created? Maybe.
Yeah. It's someone's calling.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Do you have any traditions or rituals that you go to before you play a gig?
Traditions or rituals? Not like particularly. I've just been trying to to not psych myself out recently, you know, in whatever capacity that might be. Before my last show, I was having these recurring dreams that I was playing guitar with gloves on, and I couldn't remember my songs, and I was like convinced that, you know, I was gonna forget everything, and so I was a little nervous before the last one. You know, unfortunately, if it's late enough in the evening, I'll like have an energy drink beforehand, or a late afternoon evening coffee. But
gotta do it sometimes.
Yeah, you have to.
Well, would you like to play another song for us?
Yeah, I'm going to play, this one's going to be on the new live EP. It's a new one. It's going to be called I Don't Mind.
Looking for the best in the worst of me. I promise I'm not angry. Could you hear me crying through the door? Couple kissing on the train platform. I want to push them off. Never been this bitter before. And I'm all right, just a little tired, didn't sleep well last night, and I'm fine. Go ahead without me, I promise I don't. Wrong, I don't know you. Say you're worried, I learned to lie. And I get you now. The second you stop swimming, you start to drown. We're a lot alike, you and I.
That's where those energy drinks can come back to bite you.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of.
I'm a bit of a caffeine fiend, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to quit recently. Mm-hmm. Like, no problem when I'm drinking caffeine.
Yeah.
It's when I don't drink it and I go through, like, I get terrible headaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yes.
Yeah.
I completely sympathize. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, why do I feel so terrible today? And it's like, I didn't have my 4 cups of coffee. Like, mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's not good.
And the hardest part about having a drug habit is the habit part.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
For some drugs, at least. So there's that. I do miss coffee, though.
Yeah, yeah. That's how long have you been?
A couple months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you feel better or?
I feel the same as I always do when I don't have coffee.
Okay.
It's, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no headaches now.
Right. Right.
Is that's that like, kinda, yeah.
It's the worst. Like, drink Monday to Friday and then don't drink Saturday, Sunday, and Sunday. I'm just like miserable and have a terrible headache.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're selling this to me. I'm easily impressionable. Yeah.
I did switch off to decaf for a little bit first.
Oh, okay.
To sort of wean myself off and then, yeah.
Well, because that, like, part of it is, like, I have just recently, not entirely, but a little bit, become like a coffee snob. I just, like the taste, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I like going to a coffee shop and getting a dark roast and, you know, mm-hmm. like, so I, yeah, but you could get that in decaf, I guess.
Yeah.
And you don't feel as good afterwards. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always that part. That mm-hmm. is true. Yes. Do you have any fun facts?
Fun facts.
I'm sure that you do, given our conversation about nuclear semiotics earlier, but
the one that just came to my mind, and I'm not sure, well, I know a little bit why, but is that Abraham Lincoln wanted to go on the Donner Party expedition, and his wife told him no. He knew someone who was going to be on that expedition, and he was ready to go, and I'm pretty sure it was Mary Todd Lincoln who was like, hey, this is bad news. You got to stay here. And thank God she did, right?
Yeah. No, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why did that come to mind?
At the open mic I was talking about, this was probably over a year ago now, we had a fun little night where we had everyone, or a group of people, decided to play a prank on the person who was hosting at the time and write different lyrics to the song Wagon Wheel. And then we'd all get up and we'd play Wagon Wheel, but with different lyrics. And so because you wrote the lyrics, it was still an original. And I wrote mine about the Donner Party because that's what Wagon made me think of.
Sure.
And I did, a lot of research, listened to some podcasts and read some articles, and that's where the Lincoln fact came up. And I was, for some reason, thinking about that song I had written the other day, and I can't remember, because I couldn't remember it. That was the reason. So I got to go back in my notebook, because it...
Dig it up.
Some of my best work. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. Did you bring up the Lincoln fact in the...
I couldn't fit it in. Yeah. Yeah, this is the problem. The problem with the medium of songwriting, how concise you have to be, A lot of stuff gets left on the cutting room floor.
You could probably find a way to slip Abe in there in
That's
passing.
That's a good point.
Seeing, like, Lincoln is hard to rhyme with.
Yeah, but Abe could, yeah.
Yeah, for the remastered and remixed version.
Part 2.
Yeah. And speaking of, are there any other songs that you would like to cover or do regularly cover?
I did a cover at a gig recently of Georgia by Phoebe Bridgers. That one's fun. Mm-hmm. She's also another big inspiration of mine. I do Born for Loving You by Big Thief. Trying to think, that might be it right now.
Nothing wrong with
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. If you could be any kind of tree, what kind of tree would you be?
Oh. I like a birch tree. I think they're very austere.
Good vocab work.
And I like a willow tree too. That's a good, that's a good question.
Two very noble choices, I think.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. And would you like to play another song for us?
Yeah, sure.
Excellent.
I might just tune really quick if that's okay.
Absolutely. Would you like a question to mull over while you do that?
Sure.
Well, I'll give you an easy one. What's the first concert you went to?
Bruce Springsteen.
Nice.
At Gillette Stadium. My mom took me. I was talking about this with a friend recently that I didn't, like, I knew that he was notorious for putting on a good show, but I didn't realize until afterwards, like, how spoiled I had been by having that be my first concert, because I was just like, well, this is amazing, and surely all concerts must be this, you know, amazing. That isn't necessarily the case.
No.
But
that's a special one.
That was a really special one for number one.
Mm-hmm.
This one's called For Demeter.
Last night it got cold, woke up, the ground had froze. I like when the sun sets before I come home. And I think you were scared by my longing, vacant stare. So with the seasons I go, and winter comes with his teeth bared, sneaks up and catches me unaware. It happens every year. And I know you want me to be the girl I used to be before he whisked me away. Those pesky seeds. There's nothing here for me now, so I'll go underground, wait out the winter weather where he keeps me safe and sound. Sit on a throne and wear a crown. I'll come home in the springtime. Don't worry, I'll be fine. I'll come home in the springtime. 'Cause I love you, but I love him too. And there's nothing else we can do, so don't worry, I'll be fine. I'll come home in the springtime. I'll come home in the springtime.
I was trying to come up with a stupid pun about Greek mythology, and it's all Greek to me, but I'll just give you the punchline.
Good. No.
Yeah, very really very cleverly written song. Those
oh
yeah.
thank you.
And is that one of the ones that's out?
Yeah, that's out currently.
Oh, and that's the name of the album as well.
That one, the album version has Molly O'Leary and Connor Storms singing backups on it.
Very cool.
Who are two of my favorite local artists as well, so that was really cool.
Molly play violin? Is that am I thinking of someone
different?
Okay.
Yeah, I think they mainly play guitar and sing and, you know, write songs. They're mainly based in New Bedford.
Okay.
Now, yeah.
There's someone else who I was talking with recently who had a feature
Okay.
And the person who they were, who did the feature, sounded like Molly, but I believe that they played violin. But
okay.
It might not have been Molly. It's, you know, so many names.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. How would you describe the Boston music scene?
Oh gosh.
I'll give you a limit of three words if that makes it any easier.
Oh boy.
If not, you can use as many as you want.
I guess it's robust. Nothing else is coming to mind. One word is all I need.
Yeah, hey, that works.
Yeah, I feel like before I started, coming out and going to shows and trying to meet people, I didn't really realize like how much of a scene there is in Boston. And obviously, like with Berkeley being there, I feel like, you know, everyone is like, oh yeah, Boston's got a music scene, but there are a lot of really talented singers, songwriters, bands, and I feel like every day I see a new flyer with a new band I've never heard of before, and you know, and it's really awesome. I feel really fortunate to have found the community that I have over the last few years, and supportive would be another word I would use. I think that, yeah, I had been very nervous to put myself out there and to start playing my own work, and I was just met with a lot of support and a lot of new friends, and I'm really grateful for that.
It's a great music scene, and like,
yeah,
if you are thinking about making music and you're out there, just go out, go to an open mic.
Yeah, come to the Midway Cafe the second Tuesday of every month.
There you go. All right, I've got another silly one for you. This came up in a conversation at work the other day, and I was like, oh, I used to love asking people that question, and I totally forgot about it. Sock shoe, sock shoe, or sock sock shoe shoe?
Sock sock shoe shoe. End of discussion.
Perfect. Yeah. Great.
Well, I keep my socks in my bedroom and I keep my shoes by the door. So, you know.
Yeah. But even if you didn't, I mean, would
that's
you really?
True. Yeah. Yeah. No, certainly not.
The only reason why I was ever the other way was when I was in high school and we had a mandatory aquatics class.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't want to put my socked foot down on the wet floor.
Okay. Yeah. I respect
otherwise,
that.
Otherwise, there's no good reason.
No, that makes total sense. Because, wet socks are one of the worst feelings in the entire world, I think. Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a funny one. If you could name a street, what would you name it?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know why. When was that an appropriate question? I don't know. I'll give you another open one. Do you have a favorite word?
I don't know if I do. I'm trying to think of like a word I use a lot, or one I just really like. I feel like when I remember being a kid and reading this word and thinking it was going to be big for me, and it's pugnacious. Ooh. I liked that one.
Let's get the Merriam-Webster definition for that one. Pugnacious. Pugnacious describes a person eager to fight, argue, or quarrel, often exhibiting a belligerent, combative, or aggressive nature. No, it's not.
I like the way that one sounds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything with a G and an N next to each other.
It's got a good mixture of guttural. Yeah.
Yeah.
Throaty noises.
Well, I think we've got just about enough time for one more song.
You've
got another for us.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. I'll play one more.
Or if you have a short one. after it. We could do two short ones. Mm-hmm. Or,
oh, I think I've got one.
Perfect.
One left in me. This one's called Eclipsed.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Where did you go to see the eclipse?
Vermont.
Nice.
I made it to the southernmost point you could see the totality.
Cool.
Yeah.
And how was the weather there?
Cold.
But clear?
Clear, yeah.
Good. I ended up going to Buffalo and it was cloudy.
Oh, no.
Luckily, I saw totality in 2018, 2016,
whenever the last one was.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that was a shame. It was still cool behind clouds, but yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Next time. 2030, whatever, 40,
who knows?
Whatever. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, you have a PSA. Would you like to read that for us?
Yeah. Let me read this, this PSA. Do I have to read the title too, or just
only if you'd like to?
Okay. There's something very dangerous in your home. It could be hiding in a closet or waiting in the basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item. Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org/laddersafety. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and your safety-minded friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
Very nicely done. And thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
One more time, what's your name and where can people find you?
My name is Emma Cashman. You can find me on any streaming platform under that name, C-A-S-H-M-A-N, and on social media, on Instagram specifically, on ecash54.
Very nice. Perfect. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to play half of a song and then hand things over to On the Town with Mikey D, where Lils will be curating 3 hours of local music. So stick around for more great music from Boston and New England. Thank you very much, Emma.
Thank you.
Wrapping us up today, we're going to have a track from Anand Wilder.